Zechariah, what went on here with Eliyahu Hanavi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking him into the wilderness, and then he tells him, Maluch HaPo Eliyahu, Hashem says, what are you doing? Just strange psukim that Hashem takes him to the Marah, to the cave. So I'm going to share with you a Tshuvas Radvaz, and then we'll see another way to look at it. The Radvaz says like this, when Hashem saw that Eliyahu HaNavi, Shehu Medaber, Mekane, Al Yisrael, V'ro B'tzarem, Shal Yisrael, V'lo Yispalel Aleihem, Hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misaveh, Shal Yispalel Abonot. Says the Radvaz, Hashem wanted Eliyahu HaNavi to daven for Klal Yisrael. Eliyahu HaNavi is busy saying he's Mekane. Eliyahu HaNavi is basically coming down hard on Klal Yisrael for going against the Torah. And Hashem doesn't want that. Says the Radvaz, Hashem wants him to daven for Klal Yisrael. So to Radvaz, Omar Hashem. So Hashem told him, V'chilelom adzemi Moshe Rabbeinu, Shizpal afonai kamei pomo al Yisrael mosa nafshele. Hashem was upset, was disappointed, that Eliyahu HaNavi wasn't davening for Klal Yisrael. In spite of Klal Yisrael doing Averis and everything, Hashem wanted him to daven for Klal Yisrael. Says the Radvaz, Omar Hashem, listen to unbelievable Chiddush in the Radvaz, I'm going to make hints for Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to hint. Shenasu l'Moshe Rabbeinu v'yizkol ma'isov. Yeah, Chiddush, says the Radvaz, I'm going to make Eliyahu HaNavi remember Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu after the Yegel, Moshe Rabbeinu after the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu after the Mesoinim. Moshe Rabbeinu always daven for Klal Yisrael, no matter what we did. Hashem said, I'm going to do that now, tell Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to remind him of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now listen to the Ge'enis of the Radvaz, how he works through the psukim. It's mamish the same thing. He says, so he sent Eliyahu HaNavi into the wilderness, and he had him 40 days not eat, not drink. What was he trying to do with that? If you scratch your heads, you'll remember. Who was in Shemayim for 40 days, 40 nights, davening for us? Moshe Rabbeinu. After Chet Egel. Says the Radvaz that that's precisely what Hashem was trying to do now. Hashem was trying to make Eliyahu HaNavi remember, hey, who was the last man in history that went fasting for 40 days? He would have remembered, oh, Moshe. And look what Moshe did for Klal Yisrael. And perhaps that would have changed him. He says, didn't work. Hashem Havius Eliyahu Haralikim. He brought him to Mount Sinai. Try to remind him. Ve'elinoi b'maro. And then Hashem took him to the cave where Moshe Rabbeinu himself was. Ve'omaloi. Malucho po Eliyahu. Hashem tells Eliyahu, what are you doing here? What do you mean to say? She'yizkor v'yoshuv l'vakish rachami. Kartamaisa. So this whole thing that Eliyahu HaNavi went through, says the Radvaz, was a way to bring him back to remember Moshe Rabbeinu. How much Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Klal Yisrael. And it didn't work. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adayin Ato Mekane. He tried everything. Didn't work. Kivon Shero HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer Ein Zeh Roi Lamoid Loilom. Hel Tamaisa. Because if you look at the psukim now, it goes on, and Hashem has Eliyahu HaNavi appoint Elisha as the next Novi. He says, why did Elisha become the next Novi? Says the Radvaz, because Hashem was frustrated and he was determined that the leader has to daven for Klal Yisrael. And since Eliyahu HaNavi, with good intention, Eliyahu HaNavi was sticking up for Hashem, Elyonovi, with good intention, wasn't davening for Klai Yisrael. Hashem said, "Ein ze roi lamoy boilam." Unbelievable advice. He's not roi to be on the world. There's Elisha Timshach Tachtech Elyonovi. Now Hashem was stuck because he already gave avtocha to Elyonovi when he was Pinchas that you're here forever. On the other hand, he didn't like the way it was going. Dr. Advaz, I can't leave him here. But I can't take him away either. The Mele, he left him in this limbo state of Eliyahu Novi, Eliyahu Atishbi. He's a Malach, he's a Novi, he's in between. That's Dr. Advaz. Fascinating Tshuvas Advaz, Chelek Beis of the Tshuvas Advaz. This is in response to somebody asked the Shaila to Radvaz, what's going on here in Melachim? This whole perek, really novi with this, well, what's going on? So this is Radvaz's answer. So I want to tell you there's another Chazal, fascinating Chazal, that'll shed a little different light as well. Because we know Elyonovi has two fronts. He's two fronts. Elyonovi has a front that he's the Kanoi. He's the one that fought in Midian. He killed Zimri ben Solu and Cosby Basur. And by doing that, he took away the Magefa from Klal Yisrael. He did us a favor then. We were dying out. Pinchas went, and he did it. That's one picture of Pinchas. The other picture of Pinchas is Shaul. He represents peace. Those are the two midas that he represents. Question is, which one is it? So if you look at Chazal, you see the stira. It says like this. Pinchas Elio Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish teaches us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ato nosato shalom ben Yisrael u'beini b'olam hazeh. Lo osir ato osir liten shalom b'ini l'bein bonai. So on the one hand we find, Elyonovi is a man of peace. That's one part. On the other part we have, he's a Kanoi. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu malachu Elio, Omar le Kanoi Kanoi si l'Hashem. So Hashem tells him, Loi lamato mekani. You're too much of a kanoi. Chayecho, she'en Yisrael oisim v'smila asher taroi b'einecho. So Hashem said, from now on, Elyonovi, you're going to have to come to every bris, and you will see how every Jewish kid gets his bris, so you'll be able to say positive for Klal Yisrael. That's why we have the Kisei Shel Elio. So Shaila in the Poskim, how Elyonovi comes to the bris, what is it exactly? How does he come on Shabbos? It's long distance. When you have a Shabbos bris, you also have a kisei shel Elio. We know the Gemara says in Erevin, that Elyonovi can't come on Shabbos when the Gula is going to be here because he can't travel out of the Tchum. So how is he able to come to every bris on Shabbos? Any bris you go to on Shabbos is a kisei shel Elio. So Chassam Sofer says that Elyonovi could come as a human, and he could come as a malach. That's what the Chassam Sofer says in Chelek Vav of Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. And he therefore concludes that if Elyonovi comes like a malach, then he doesn't have to keep the Torah. He's a malach, he's an angel. Machayev mitzvos. When Elyonovi comes down as an Odom, as a person, then he's bound by the Torah mitzvos. Then he has to keep the Torah mitzvos. So what's Pshat? Here we have all these steers. What's Pshat? So my boy said the Pshat really is very possible. The Pshat is that there are two things. There's Kanos and there's Shalom. And they seem to be opposites. Kanos and Shalom seem to be opposites. Shalom is peaceful, peace-loving, quiet, edel, sweet. No fighting. Well-mannered. Quiet. But then You have Kanos. Kanos, Shalom. Kanos seems to be the opposite of peace. Yet Chazal telling us that Leonov is a Kanoi and he's a Shalom. Seems to be a contradiction. I'll tell you a Maisa that happened to Alter Slobodka. I heard this over from one of the Gedolei Yisrael. He said there was a boy who got a little bit attracted to secularism in Europe. And he went to the Berlin University. Okay? And he got encrusted in that culture. And you know, in yeshiva, sometimes you can talk a little rough. That's a krum esvare. You go into Beis Medrash. I was told once there were inspectors that walked into Lakewood. Government inspectors that had to come down when you have a school and approvals and this and that. They have to see the different parts of the building. So they were the Beis Medrash. What's the Beis Medrash called? Either it's called a study or it's called a library. So they told the inspector, okay, so here's the library. So he figured he'll open up the door, he'll see a nice, big, quiet room with a bunch of books, a couple lights hanging from the ceilings, with a librarian with her glasses. Yes, sir, what can we do for you? He walks in, 2,000 people screaming at each other. He goes, what was it? He walked in, he ran out. What's going on? So this guy, this boy, yeshiva guy who turned a little bit more secular, he ended up in Berlin University. And I don't know if you guys have done a lot of reading on German culture, but the Germans are very well-mannered. Very well-mannered. There's no screaming. Everything is edel. Very edel. Looks very sweet. Sweet. So this guy came back to Slobodka. He was visiting Slobodka. And he told the altar of Slobodka that there's a lot to learn from the German culture. They're so refined. This is before the war. So you were able to get away saying that. They're so refined. So the Alter Slobodka said, tell me, how are they so refined? So he said, you know, in yeshiva, when a bocher comes, he has a kasha to Rosh Yeshiva. What does Rosh Yeshiva say? Narishkeit! Pinsker! Where's Pinsker? He's gone. They killed him already. Mahak Tarain, right? A guy says, Krum Esvore. You say, Elchonon, what are you saying? Not that Elchonon ever says Krum Esvore. He says in college, in a German college, when somebody says something and the professor corrects him, the professor then says, this seems to be the right approach. And then he says, Nishtva. Nishtvar means, is it not correct? Meaning when the professor says his idea, even when he corrects a student, he doesn't tell him, you're wrong, I'm right, this is the pshat. No. Sweet. He says, this seems to be the approach. Nishtvar, he ends with the statement, Nishtvar. Nishtvar means, is it not correct? He was trying to show how the professors are edel. They say, Nishtvar, is it not correct? Rosh Hashiva screams over there, hey, it's not the Krum Esvore. Professor, very nicely, says, it's Nishtva. So the Alter Slobodka looked at him. The Alter Slobodka was a Goan. He understood people. Rabbi Yankov always said he was a Menschkenner. He knew people. So the Alter Slobodka said, they will murder people and say Nishtva. They will kill somebody and say Nishtva. The guy's like, oh, kill, they're so sweet. Such nice people. This boy, some years later, was in a camp. And one of the Nazis, Yimach Shimon V'Zichron, cut off part of his leg before killing him. He punished him by cutting off part of his leg first. When he cut off his leg, he says, it hurts, Jew! Nishtvar! Is it not correct? Exactly what the Alter Slobodka told. It hurts, true, doesn't it? Nishka. Sounds very sweet. Very sweet. The sweetness is worth nothing. What's the sweetness? It's really Ritzicha. Murderers with a nice, delicate language. You can have serial killers that are able. What does Edelkeit do for you? An Edel a murderer. Right? An Edel a murderer. The truth is that sometimes taking a stand is the biggest form of peace. Look at our generation. Not our generation. Look at our time, mamish. A year and a half ago, there was a group of Sunni terrorists that started a little chabura. They're called ISIS. So the president, the big Chacham Obama, said, these guys are nothing. Not worried about them. It's a small little group. It's a cute little group. Cute group of Muslims, Sunni Muslims. He called them a JV team. You know what a JV team is, right? Total knows what it is. You don't know what it is? Bianca said you have to be Muslim. With them. Sure. You stick a Mufka from sports. Okay. Nothing to be reckoned with. Look at the ISIL now. They took up a big chalik in the Middle East. They're making a caliphate, Nebuchadnezzar, all of a sudden, Reutzchim. But Obama likes to be peaceful. Wars have to be edel. But that edelkeit is gezeich. Because when you see something wrong, if you don't correct it, and if it's something that's destructive and you don't correct it, and sometimes you have to fight it, that's not peace. That's the opposite of peace. That's the opposite of peace. Memela, the only way for Shalom to be complete is if you also have kanos. Because if your policy of Shalom is just to smile and to accept everything, then that Shalom becomes destructive. When the Midianim came and they wanted to integrate in Klal Yisrael to marry into us, we needed somebody to get up and go, Ad Kan. Believe me, there were a lot of people going, listen, the Midianite woman is not nice, push them away. I mean, the Karev Zayn, let's be a unifying type of nation, we accept other people. Pinchas got up, Pinchas is not a steer with peace. Pinchas is the shlemus of peace. You need that. In order to have Shalom, you need to be able to also know when Bakei Shalom v'roit feyu, says the Ksav Sefer. It's a contradiction. Bakei Shalom means you should look for it, roit feyu means chase it. Chase it when you chase it away. What's the pshat? Bakei Shalom v'roit feyu. Isn't that what it says in Pasuk? Zok the Ksav Sefer, the only way you could be Bakei Shalom is if you also know when it's not good to chase it away. That was Pinchas' koyach. Pinchas' koyach was, he was the kanoi. When they wanted to integrate into us the Midyanim, and we started dying out because of that, Pinchas got up and he did the kanois. That wasn't a steer with Shalom. That's what we needed. The Rabbanu Shalom now was trying to get Pinchas to wear both hats. The conclusion was, no. In this world, he could protect the peace, but he can't be wearing the two hats at the same time. The Baruch Hashem tried. That's what the Radvaz is saying. But Lamaisa, Pinchas is not a steerer with Shalom. Pinchas is Mashlim Shalom. And you'll see, if you take what I'm telling you, Musa Haskell, you'll see in life, you'll find, whenever you're supposed to be peaceful, the Yetzer convinces you to get into Machlekes. Whenever you're supposed to have a shtickle machlekes, the Yetzer convinces you to be peaceful. You'll see, it's consistent. Guy's talking Lashon Hara. So it's uncomfortable to tell a guy, hey, it's Lashon Hara, you shouldn't talk about that. It's not nice, the guy's going to be upset at me. That's when you're supposed to get up and go, what is it, Lashon Hara? No, then you're peace-loving. Then you're peace-loving. If a guy took your seat in shul, then you kill him. I'll just end off with one thing. Rav Lezer Shach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the biggest Musa Haskel you take from Rav Shach, and that mamish drives home this point, that life, you always have to balance, seek peace, But you always have to reject what's false and what's wrong at the same time. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was probably from the biggest Kanoim in our generation. From the biggest Kanoim. He got up when something had to be said, he said it. When he felt something was wrong, he said it. He was the most outspoken Litvish Rosh Hashiva, probably in the generation. In his generation, for sure. Most outspoken. Rav Lezer Shach, maybe 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, even though he was already a famed Rosh Hashiva, not everybody knew who he was. He walked into a shul. There's a Maaseh Shoyim. He walked into a shul. It happens to be in that shul, the people didn't know who he was. He wasn't getting involved with the politics. They didn't have pictures all over the Yisharim. They didn't know who he was. So in that shul, they didn't know who he was. Anyway, he sat down in his seat. This is Rav Lezer Shach, the Ponovich Rosh Hashiva. He sat down in the shul, some seat. And it turned out he sat down in a guy's seat, one of these outspoken type of guys. The guy goes over to me, he goes, "Hey, chutzpah, this is my seat. What are you doing?" So Shach slowly says, "No, come on. Get on with it, move." If Shach's Talmud was like two rows back, he was like, "He's going to kill the guy. He's going to kill the guy." Shach gets up. The first thing he does to the guy is he gives the guy a hug. Hug. The Talmud's like, "Oh." And then he does, "I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it." When they leave the shul, and this is the Kanoir of Shach, he could have gotten up and said, "Nevazah Talmud Chacham, you Oisvarf, you know who I am? I'm Chani Amagel. I'm a Shach." He didn't do that. He got up by the Yach HaKalas screaming about different things that he felt had to be fixed. But this, he was quiet. Not quiet, he hugged the guy and kissed the guy and told him he's so sorry and he apologized and walked away. The guy probably, when he found out, had a heart attack. Who he was talking to. So Rav Shach's Talmud tells him, "Rebbe, I understand you're a tzaddik and you went out of the seat. I understand. You didn't yell at the guy. Okay, I understand. You hugged the guy. You treat him like he's your Rebbe." Rav Shach looks at him, he goes, "He is my Rebbe." "What? He's your Rebbe? That mechutzah. He's your Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. He's my Rebbe." Rav Shach said very simple. He said, "I'm a Rosh Hashiva in Ponovich. People come every day. New people come to the yeshiva every day. Try to be nice to them. New guy walks in the door. Baruch Hashem here in Aruvin, it's a friendly place. I hear it from people all the time. They walk in, they get a Shalom Aleichem. You don't realize a new person walks in the door, it makes them feel like $1 million. Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? This is my name. I know it's old fashioned to do it, but that makes people feel good." Rav Shach said, "I never was a stranger in my own Beis Medrash. I'm the Rosh Hashiva. This guy taught me what it feels like to be a stranger. And now, from now on, I'm going to be more careful when new people walk into the Beis Medrash. Because he showed me what a stranger feels like. And the Mele, he's my Rebbe for that thing." The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if somebody teaches you one thing, he's Rabbi Aluf for him, you die. That shows you, Rabbi Yisrael, what it means, the balance between being a Kanoi and being a person that's shown. And that's our job. Our job in life is to reject what's supposed to be what's bad, and otherwise to seek peace. And most people go the other way around. When they're supposed to seek peace, they look for machlekes. And when they're supposed to look for machlekes, they seek peace. And that's something, it's a balance in life. And why? Because the Yetzer is always there pumping. He's pumping. Somebody's doing Lashon Hara, somebody's doing something Oinor, somebody's doing something dishonest. Keep quiet, let the guy be peaceful. Then you're supposed to object. And when you're supposed to be peaceful, the Yetzer comes, convinces you to make machlokes.